Okay, have we started the podcast now? Are we live?
We are live to the entire
world.
Nice,
yes. Sick. Okay.
Everyone's watching, man. Obama.
No more secrets, okay.
Guys, welcome back to the Lightweights Podcast. Today we have Reckless Ben and Danny Burke, the two infiltrators. You guys are returning guests here on Lightweights.
Yeah.
I love the Lightweights Podcast.
Yeah,
dude, look,
this is my favorite podcast ever.
Oh, yeah. We gave those out when we sold our merch.
Yep. I'm trying to think if I've ever been on a better podcast than Lightweights.
Probably not.
I don't think I have.
I don't think so either.
I also don't go on a lot of podcasts, but I do think this is probably the best podcast I've ever been on.
Top 10.
Top one, I'd say.
Joe always has like the best energy. I love it.
I really do.
Yeah.
You guys infiltrate shit. Last time you were here, you were talking about infiltrating the Yellow Deli, which was...
Oh, an evil cult. It's like a restaurant that's run by a cult. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like super racist, homophobic. They beat their kids and stuff. It's really sad. And we freaking went in there undercover and exposed them.
And how many videos was in that series on your guys' channels?
We kind of both had different. I think you had a couple more than me, but I had 16. You might have had like 18 or 19.
It was about, around like 30 to 40 videos combined with us. So, and these aren't just like short videos. They're like 20-minute, like it's like a whole TV show pretty much,
yeah.
I guess, that we're running through YouTube.
But like the editing on that like took forever. And so I ended up going to Bali to go like celebrate that series being over. And then Ben hits me up when I'm in Bali. He's like, dude, I got a new infiltration for us. Have you heard of McCamey Manor? And I said, no, tell me about it. And then we ended up doing it.
Before we get into McCamey, how did the whole Yellow Deli series end? Was there any aftermath repercussions
from
that?
When we were on the podcast last time, we basically were in the middle of the series. We were like, we just got done infiltrating. We were like halfway through like the editing production of it. So your audience didn't really get to see how it all turned out. But we ended up taking over their restaurant. We found a legal loophole in their they do some things that like they use loopholes to get around like their minimum wage law and stuff because it's illegal to run like what they're running. So we just use their own loophole that they're using against them, and we use it to take over their restaurant. So
yeah, we had basically 30 of our friends go in there, work a shift at the Yellow Deli, and then they're considered a part owner. Because if you work at the Yellow Deli, they're like in their LLC, it says anyone that works there is considered a part owner, and they go by majority vote, and no one gets paid. And so, and they think that God's going to send like 144,000 virgins into the restaurant and just be like, we're here to work. And they think it's like their prophecy. So we ended up sending like 30 of our friends going in there saying we came from the San Diego Virgin Club. And then they were like,
you had 30 people come in?
Yeah. And then they were like, okay, you're here to work. And they let them work. They had a group vote. They fired all the employees. Ben and I are hiding outside. We come in. My mom spray painted like this giant sheet that said it's not a cult anymore.
Yeah, because we were trying to like rebrand. So that was a lot of information like really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just want to recap too. For anyone listening, I know they're throwing out really big words, but you guys infiltrate cults and dangerous things for your YouTube channels.
Yeah, well, I would like to say we like to take down bad things in the world. And like if we can't even take them down, we want to at least shed light about it so people don't support them anymore.
And you guys go in posing as you want to be part of it and you use spy gear to get the footage.
Yeah, the way I like to describe it is it's not necessarily where we're coming in with the mentality of like, oh, we're going to take this thing down. So we kind of like entering things that are controversial, if that makes sense. So like McCamey Manor, for instance, or the Yellow Deli, it's controversial. And so we don't immediately go in like, we're going to take this down. At first, we go in with the secret cameras, we investigate, and we're like, okay, is this actually something bad that's happening to our world, you know? And we're not just going to like go and do like sit down interviews like your typical documentary because, I don't know, in my opinion at least, the worst way to receive information is through like word of mouth, you know? Like if you've ever played the game Telephone before, like people's stories change by the time you tell it to like 10 people, you know, and then it gets back to the circle and it's a completely different story. So it's like, we don't like the word of mouth way of doing documentaries. We like to go in with like secret cameras and actually find out and get the real like footage of what's happening, you know? And that's the thing that like normal documentaries aren't really doing nowadays, I think. And that's why we think what we're doing is like different and kind of innovative. And then not only are we documenting it, but when we do find out like bad things, we test them. And so like, for instance, in the cult, we in the last episode, we talked about how my girlfriend became like, she had a gay thought.
The last episode of the Yellow Deli one?
Yeah. When we were on your podcast last time. And so we throw out tests. And at the end, if we find out what they're doing is bad, we do what we call like a final stunt. And for the cult example, we took over the restaurant. If that makes sense.
But for example, about the gay thing. So this cult, like the leader of the cult states that if you're gay, then you should be put to death.
Yeah.
And so like we ended up telling them that his girlfriend was like had a gay thought.
Yeah.
And they
didn't
like that
off.
At all. They they thought that was like the worst thing possible.
They killed her.
Yeah, they killed her. Well, not literally killed her, but like they think
they were happy to see her die. Pretty
yeah,
much.
We fake killed her off our series, and they thought that God punished her for having a gay thought and that she did die.
But I think we talked about that last time we were on the podcast, didn't we?
Yeah.
There's so much information. We've done so much in the past year, dude.
What repercussions do you guys face? Because this is the stuff that you're doing is so out there.
So, sadly, not much. And the reason I say sadly is because that's when we get the best content, is when the repercussions happen. And also, I don't think it's really fair journalism when we don't get repercussions, because we like to document like what a normal person would feel like going through, like whatever. It's like for the McKamey Manor one, for example, we're like, okay, we want to document what it's like for a normal person to go through McKamey Manor. That way you can watch the experience on YouTube and not have to feel like you have to go through it yourself to learn the mystery. Cause that's why a lot of people do this stuff, is because it's mysterious. So if we can like kind of like uncover the smoke and mirrors and stuff, then they don't feel like I have to do it anymore. So one of the things that we really like to document is like what are the repercussions of someone that tries to leave McKamey Manor, or what are the repercussions of someone that tries to leave a cult? Because for the normal person, there is repercussions. But for us, normally there's not repercussions, because by this point they learn that we're just going to use it as content against them, you know? So like, I think Scientology tried doing something to us once and we used it as content. And then after that, they were like, okay, we're never going to do anything to the Reckless Ben channel again, because they're just going to turn it against us, you know. And
Ben, we haven't even explained what McKamey Manor is yet.
There's so much more to you guys. I feel like you guys are just like blooming onion at Outback, and I want to pull back every single layer that you have. Ben, would you guys ever go to Roswell?
Well, that might, I don't want to spoil anything, but that might be something that's coming up really soon.
Yeah.
But
could you tell me after?
Yeah, I can tell you after. Yeah. There might be something involving us and aliens after a new series, but yeah, we can't talk about it too much yet. But yeah, that's kind of like what our documentaries are trying to do, is like, okay, we want to take this word of mouth, because no one likes believing word of mouth. And like, you can see like the American people are not going to believe in aliens till they see an alien, you know? So
what are you guys doing now with this haunted house?
Yeah. So what we're infiltrating now, it's called McKamey Manor, and it's described from anyone that talks about McKamey Manor, it's described as the world's scariest haunted house. And so there's a twist, though. The guy is just straight up torturing you. It's a torture house where he ends up just waterboarding you, putting you in a straitjacket. He duct tapes your eyes, puts a beanie over you, change you up with a straitjacket, and he just waterboards you. And no one's actually made it through the manor, because he just taps you out, because he will never let anyone win. And so we're exposing it, because there's a lot of false advertising that goes inside McKamey Manor. There's a lot of false advertising going into McKamey Manor, and a lot of people are going there for this like crazy haunt, when in reality the guy's just straight up embarrassing you, making you wear a onesie, making you do exercises in his front yard, and just waterboarding you.
And all this is on your YouTube channel?
We have two episodes. Well, I have two episodes out. Ben's got like four. He edits faster than me, so I got to start grinding and get my episodes out faster. But yeah, it's going well.
But yeah, I'd say the reason that we wanted to do this is the same thing. Like, first off, we're like adrenaline junkies, you know. So like, I actually wanted to do McKamey Manor as like a legitimate thing back in like a couple years ago, and then I was like, this looks awesome, you know. Like, if it was as he says it is, this would actually be something that I would think I would really enjoy, you know, because he's saying there's gonna be like a 40-foot free solo high ropes course and stuff. He's like, we have a 200-yard underwater swim. Like, he's saying you're gonna be swimming through like alligators and stuff, and like all these crazy things. And you look up the videos online and it all looks real, you know. So I was like, this looks sick, you know. And I was like, maybe I could actually like legitimately do this, not to like critique and expose it, but just to actually do it is like an awesome thing. And so I like signed up, and the more I started looking into it, like, you see some red flags, you know what I mean? Like, the first red flag that you see is he says he has a 20,000 person waiting list, but then every single person that signs up gets accepted like a week later.
Yeah,
you know.
And so I had a video chat, because you have a video chat with them to get approved, and like I got this video chat like right away, right when I messaged them, by the way. I thought they have a 20,000 people waiting list. And then they're like, we'll let you know by tomorrow. In 20 minutes, they're like, you're approved. Same thing happened with Ben. He got approved right away. So I feel like they're saying all these things to like get McKamey Manor hyped up, but it's just not real.
How much does it cost to do it?
It's free.
It's two bags of dog food. Or that's what it used to be. Now it's one 50-pound of dog food and a bag of dog treats is what it is now.
So bag of dog food, and obviously you have to pay for your flight to get out there, because it's in Summertown, Tennessee. And I mean, what he did for me is I flew out there the night before, and he makes you sleep deprived the next day, the day before. So he makes you sleep deprived the day before. He made me do a Facebook Live because they live stream the when you go through on their Facebook Live account. And they have a McCamey Manor group. And I had to go on their Facebook Live every 15 minutes until like 9 in the morning. We ended up like cheating, and I went to sleep for like 3 hours. But I was very, very sleep deprived, and that's what he does to try to make you weak. But also, we ended up well, Ben did this on Photoshop. We ended up changing the NDA contract.
Oh, yeah. So this is why – so back up a little bit. I'm going to back up two steps first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going a little fast. I'm too excited right now.
Yeah. The first thing I want to say is this is like kind of a, before we like lead our audience on or the audience that's watching. McCamey Manor actually doesn't exist. It's a whole hoax pretty much. So I don't know if you're able to catch that from what we're saying so far, but everything he advertises is fake. And all when it comes down to it, it's exercises in his front yard. And then he sprays a hose in your face, which is, I guess, aka waterboarding.
Yeah, but yeah, he duct tapes your eyes and then puts a beanie over you.
And that's all it is. And everything else that is advertised to get you there, like the giant ropes courses, the underwater swims, the incinerator stuff, all the crazy contraptions. Like, this guy claims he spent millions of dollars creating all these contraptions and stuff.
The guy lives in a trailer, just not that big of like property. He just has a big grassy front yard where he makes you do the exercises at. He's not making any money on this. He works at Walmart.
Sometimes it could be hard eating healthy when you're feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun. That's where I have a food hack for you. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit, as nature intended. I try to get my fruit in all fun ways, whether it's a smoothie, a salad, it's really just a treat. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries are one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. They're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness. And because they're frozen at the peak of ripeness, they deliver big time nutrition and flavor year round. So whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. You can find frozen Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers. If you want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries, get more details on where you can grab them simply by going to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make Washington Red Raspberries a regular part of your routine. We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are hard to stick with. Taking shots of apple cider vinegar? No thanks. Swallowing giant vitamins? Not for me. Goalie Nutrition is wellness made easy and delicious with their chewable gummies. From apple cider vinegar for digestion support to ashwagandha for stress relief, Goalie's gummies fit effortlessly into your routine. They're made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins to help you feel your best every day. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health, now in a convenient gummy form. More than just ACV, from ashwagandha for stress relief, plus they're packed with essential vitamins, organic ingredients, and no artificial nonsense. No mixing, measuring, or mess. Just grab, chew, and conquer your day. Made for every lifestyle with a formula that works for you. Plus, they're made in the USA, loved worldwide. So head to goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try, risk-free, backed by their money-back guarantee. Because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit goalie.com today. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. I do have a few friends who have used GLP-1, and it helps get them on the right path to sustain a healthier lifestyle. It's helped with weight loss and confidence. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with my code LIGHTWEIGHT at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use code LIGHTWEIGHT to get $50 off your first month of GLP weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
Come on. Yeah.
But do you think that he gave you a softer thing because he knew who you guys were?
So we're
getting a bunch of comments on that, and it's just not true.
So that was what.
But how do you know it's not true?
And this is why. So, So we dug up footage, and you can also see on Google Maps that the entire McCamey Manor, it's one mud pit, right? So he'll put you in mud and, like, spray water on your face while you're laying in mud, and there's a cage he has you crawl through. And it's called Rat Race is what he calls it. And he says, this is the entrance to the haunted house. Once you get through Rat Race, thousands of rats will fall on you. And then that's what starts your haunted house experience. That's when the 10-hour timer starts. And if you can make it through 10 hours, you win $20,000. But the thing is he just obviously, like, I think the CIA came out with a study that says, like, your average person can last, like, 14 seconds being waterboarded. And to get through this maze, it would take you probably, like, an hour to get through it. You know what I mean? So, obviously, no one's going to last. And so, no one's ever actually made it into his haunted house, you know? So,
have you talked to other people who have done it?
It's a little bit of a spoiler, but I'll just say this. We talked to the person who made it the furthest ever in McCamey Manor. And he
did
made,
they reach out to you?
I reached out to him. So, we reached out to the – because this was a big thing, a debate we had with their main moderator. Because this is, like, deep into the onion now. I'm peeling back, like, six layers to tell you this, but, like, their moderators are all brainwashed. So everyone that works for McCamey Manor believes the lies. So we were kind of in a debate with them because they think all the contraptions are real, you know?
But and how do they work for them if he doesn't make any money from it?
Well, so the
they just do it for fun, I guess, yeah.
But the moderators, like, when you're doing the Facebook Lives before the tour, like, when pretty much everything leading up to the tour, the moderators are doing, like, Russ gets his, like, moderators to do everything for him, and then once you get to Tennessee and you actually do the manor, it's just Russ and then his filmer Cecil that this is a spoiler too, we just found out that Cecil just left McCamey Manor. His kids saw our series and I guess aren't talking to him at the moment.
Yeah.
Is that in your video?
Yeah.
We're gonna put it in the video. Did you already put it in yours?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he put it in your. I haven't put it in mine yet, but
who are the people commenting on your guys' series? Is it people who are fans of the Manor?
No.
It's your guys' audience?
Yeah, because one of the things is if you watch a hate video, you're deemed a hater. Even if you don't agree with what we say, if you listen to what we say, then you're a hater because we've given you information now that proves that the Manor is fake. So now that you know that it's fake, even if you don't agree with us, Russ will still banish you. So if they watch one of our videos, then they're no longer allowed to, like, work for McCamey Manor anymore because they've now seen it's fake, you know, because they've been de-brainwashed, if that makes sense. Because our videos are kind of like a de-brainwashing tool.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm just getting a bunch of people that are watching my videos that used to be, like, big fans of McCamey Manor. They're like, I've always wanted to see someone, like, expose this. Like thank you so much for doing this. So I really don't know if I'm having anyone from the McCamey Manor group watching it. Maybe they're watching it to be like, that guy's a hater, but they're not supporting the series, no way.
With the old videos that have surfaced online, though, at one point, was the Manor ever real?
No.
They would, like, hit you and
I'll go through the whole history because we don't really describe this in the series at all. I felt like it was kind of irrelevant to our series because we wanted our documentary to be more about, like, our experience, like, showing, like, what it is, not, like, we don't want to say, like, someone else's experience. So he started it in 2009, I believe, and from 2009 to 2013, it was just a backyard haunt, just like a normal haunted house that you go through at, like, Six Flags or something, or, like, Magic Mountain, you know, just, it was through his garage, his backyard, maybe takes you 30 minutes to go through. That's about it. I think they were allowed to, like, push you and touch you around, but that's it. Like, anyone could go through. I think you may have sent a one-page waiver, and it was chill, you know, it was, like, chill haunted house. 2014, he's like, okay, we want to do this extreme edition, you know, and that's when you see, like, the Marines breaking and stuff, and that's when
Marines breaking what?
Like, he would break, like, basically, like, all these, like, army people would try and go through, and all these tough guys, and he's, like, making them cry and stuff, and
yeah.
And you see
this was in San Diego.
Yeah, and so people are like, okay, this is when the McCamey Manor got real. This is when there actually was a real haunted house that was actually breaking people, and that's what you're probably referring to, is, like, at one point was this real. And so, what happened there from, and I wasn't there to actually document this, so I just know from people that have gone through at this point. Like, a lot of them have come out and had like phone calls with us, or like past actors and stuff have come out and said this. But all that ever was he had a pit in his ground. It was about 10 feet wide. It was full of water, and he would just shove their face in the water, you know, and that's all it was. And then he would lie about all these crazy contraptions he has, when really he's just having his, and at this point he had like probably 10 actors, you know, and so he just has their actors like pushing their face in water. And I guess he's like, if you can escape this cage, you get to enter all these crazy contraptions, but no one could ever escape the cage because they're in a straitjacket, and they can't escape a straitjacket in a cage. It's too small for them to escape. So they're just in this cage for hours and hours trying to escape. And that's why when they come out, they're like crying and they're like so broken, because they were just in this like freezing water, and they're shaking, not because they're scared, but just because they're cold, and they're like crying and stuff because they've just been like beaten up pretty much for like 5 or 6 hours. And then he's like, well, you can't start your haunted house yet until you escape this. And then it gets even worse, because I guess that water got so dirty and stuff that the health inspector actually came and said, you can't run this McCamey Manor in your house anymore. So he got banished from doing it. So what he did is he would drive people to a warehouse and be like, okay, this is McCamey Manor in this warehouse. But it was just, I think it was like an Amazon facility. Like, he didn't even own the warehouse. You know, it was like some Amazon packaging place.
This is where he left San Diego and
Is 2016, still in San Diego. And then what happened was, is he would take people in his car. So he's like, okay, we're gonna drive you to the haunted house. And then he would just literally have his actors just beat up the people in the back of the car until they broke, you know, until they gave up.
How do you know that? From talking to other people?
Talking to a lot of people, yeah. And from people that have actually been through it, that's what every single person said. And like, they were getting beaten up so bad, they were getting broken bones, going to the hospital and stuff. Finally, all the actors were like, screw this. Like, this used to be fun when it was like an actual, like a little kid haunted house, you know, and now this is just like stupid. So all of his actors quit. And then he couldn't pay his taxes on his house because his wife left him. His wife was funding everything. His girlfriend, but everyone thought she was his wife, but it was really his girlfriend, Carol. And so she left him. She was the one funding everything. So once she left, he couldn't afford anything. He had his house, but he couldn't pay the taxes on it. So he had to move out to Tennessee, where taxes are ridiculously cheap. And then that's where he is now. And he was like, I got to do a manor because he's got to do it. And so now he just has people do exercises in his front yard and his little rat race cage. And that's it. But that's not what he advertises. And if you look up any documentary about McCamey Manor, it's always like, this is the craziest haunted house in the world. Like, there's all these contraptions. You put millions of dollars into it. And that's what, like, I think Hulu's coming out with a documentary soon. They're going to be talking about it. But like everyone's just like glorifying him. And like, this crazy, awesome haunted house he built.
Yeah, because we've talked to like a bunch of like people that have gone through it. And their problem is that they took off work to go out there and go, because he's advertising it as this like crazy haunt. And then when they go there and they're expecting something else, it's like insanely falsely advertised. And they're like, wait, I just spent all this money to come out here for something that's not there. You know, the guy is like, we're starting to figure out, it could be like maybe like a pain fetish that Russ might have. Like, we talked to, that's just speculation, but we're starting to feel that way. We even had a porn star in my first episode kind of diagnose like what he does. And she's like, oh yeah, that's a fetish. That's definitely a fetish. And
yeah, cause me and Danny, we're not like in the BDSM scene that much. So we were like, we wanted this porn star is not just a porn star. She's like in the BDSM scene more.
Yeah.
You know,
like straight up stuff, humiliation, yeah. Like torture. So, like, she'll torture people for in porn. She was saying.
This was Danny's idea. He was like, why are, like, if we're going to critique him on, like, if this is a fetish, we should actually get, like, a fetish expert, you know, to give the critique. Because she would probably be the best person to be able to diagnose what...
And, like, in my opinion, you know. I think it, but, like, someone else's opinion, they might not think that. But, like, it's really weird that he's doing this, not making any money off of it. And it just, the way he's doing it is, like, very BDSM and creepy. Yeah. Very creepy and like, questionable. Like, ugh.
Does it make you want to investigate more for haunted houses?
Yeah, we're actually going to be doing a legit haunted house called Crucible.
Where's that?
It's in Utah. So
it's a lot of people that used to work with Russ.
Well, some people did, yeah. So a lot of people that used to work for McCamey Manor and then turned against McCamey, they're like, McCamey Manor sucks. This is terrible. They now work for Crucible. And they're trying to do what McCamey Manor advertised, but in like a better way, if that makes sense. So,
and it's not,
did you sign up for that one already?
Yeah, we've signed up.
We're
doing it. It's supposed to be the true, like, scariest haunted house in the world, if that makes sense. So it's another 8-hour experience. They don't call it a haunted house. They call it a haunted experience, I guess, like a survival endurance. It's, they call it more of like an endurance test. Like, how long can you endure this like craziness that's happening to you?
Yeah, and it won't, we won't be falsely advertised. We know it's going to be crazy, and we know it's going to be intense. But like,
also, there is no falsely advertised because they've advertised nothing to us. We know nothing of what goes on inside.
So you don't know any of the stunts.
They kind of told us like what we're going to be expecting a little bit.
How'd you sign up for it?
They reached out to us.
They reached out to you? Ooh.
So some of the people that I've been working with, because it's people that used to work with McKamey Manor, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's people that we're working with for the series. They're helping us with our series. And they're like, also, we run this other haunted house called Crucible. If you want to do a legitimate experience and compare it to McKamey Manor, it could be good for your series. And I mean, we're into crazy stuff. So I'm like, I'm down. And the experiment kind of is it's like, okay, now that we've done the worst extreme haunted house in the world, now let's do like what people are considering the best extreme haunted house in the world, and then we can sit down at the end and like compare the two, like how do the two compare side to side, you know? And that's kind of what we're, but right now I have no expectations going into it. So they don't advertise it like McKamey Manor does, like we have all these crazy awesome amazing things that don't exist. Like they literally have told us nothing.
I was basically saying I just know it's going to be legit and it's not going to be falsely advertised like McKamey Manor. Like, but we're gonna go in there and I think we're gonna have a good time.
Pretty much what they said is we're gonna be under the assumption that we're legitimately gonna think we're gonna die, but we're gonna be 100% safe the whole time, and we're not gonna come out with any serious injuries, is what they said.
And that doesn't scare you, like doing?
No,
this?
It scares us. Yeah, but that's why
it does.
Well, of course it scares us. Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna be scared because, like, when I went through McKamey Manor, like Ben got pretty far in McKamey Manor. My role, like, I thought it would be repetitive content doing the same thing and seeing how far it could go inside McKamey Manor. When I'm like, we're as like investigative journalists, like, our one goal is to not like see how far we can go through McKamey Manor. Our goal is to literally just expose what's going on there.
My goal was actually to see how far I could get through. But
well, no, I'm saying, well, like, you started, like, Ben's goal was to see how far we can get through. But then after Ben went, then we're like, okay, now we can start investigating this.
Yeah.
And we can have, like, an...
Well, I went through my first time. I was not concerned about the investigating part. I was really just like, I just want to experience this, and this is craziness.
Yeah,
you know?
So after he experienced it, I'm like, okay, this is what actually is happening. So I don't necessarily have...
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code LIGHTWEIGHT. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and can take you to the mood that you're looking for. Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help get you in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And it ships discreetly to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations. Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code LIGHTWEIGHT. So head to Mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code LIGHTWEIGHT when you check out to save 20% off on your first order.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
I have to go all the way through because it's just going to be repetitive. So what I wanted to do is question him. Question him about his contract, because his contract's like 200 pages. And there's so much illegal stuff. There's so much stuff that just
I do want to bring up something you said before. We were about to talk about it, but then the subject changed. So Danny said, yeah, well, it's about the contract. Danny was saying, like, the reason that when you look up online, how no one's actually exposing what's going on, people are just talking about, like, continuing the lies of, like, there's crazy stuff that goes on, like, they use mind control and they just continue his lies. If you look up McKamey Manor and you don't watch one of our videos, it's gonna be a lie pretty much. So it's like, how does he get away with this? And it's this contract. It says anyone that talks about the truth has to pay him $50,000. So what me and Danny did is right before, so he was actually stupid enough to give us the contract to sign to give back to him.
Yeah. So he gives you half of the contract. contract when you're back home. It's an NDA. You sign that, and then you bring it to his house the day before your tour.
And then he signs it.
Yeah, and then he signs it, but then he gives you the 200-page contract to sign, and then you do the tour the next day.
And so I just went into Google Docs. I, like, import it into Google Docs. I was like, I erased the $50,000. I typed in $1. So we did break NDA contract by sharing all of his secrets, but now the penalty is only $1, which is, I mean, me and Danny can, like, easily afford $1, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if it was $50,000, we would probably be in debt and it wouldn't be good, but now it's only $1. Like, we could afford one. Like, we
I think my videos are doing pretty well on YouTube. I think I can afford a dollar.
Even though we are demonetized, like, $1 still isn't our budget. So
yeah.
Did anyone say anything to you about changing that?
No one noticed. No one noticed at the time. They noticed afterwards, obviously, because we brought it up. We were like, hey, like, we spill all the secrets.
And what'd they say?
They were like, well, just send us the dollar. And we did. We sent them $1. And it's pretty much good now. So now when they're suing us, it's like they have no reason to sue us now. But they're still, sending lawyers after us. But that's, like, kind of where the comedy comes in now, because, like, we kind of broke their cycle, you know, because normally it's like if someone tries to come out with the truth, they send lawyers, and they're like, you signed an NDA. But now we got it. So they're just kind of stuck now, you know.
They want to sue us for trademark.
Yeah, that's what they came up with, was trademark. That's the best thing they came up with. That's the most illegal thing we did, is because we said their trademark's name.
The Kamey Manor. So technically what we're saying right now is we're not allowed to say that.
So how come you switched over to doing what you're doing now?
Basically, before this infiltration stuff, I was just kind of doing dumb jackass stunts. I mean, the stuff I actually really enjoyed was, like, the David's Bitches stuff. I don't know why. Like if you watch those videos, they're intense. But for some reason, I got this, like, crazy adrenaline high from them. They were, like, really fun. And, like, there were some things I, like, can't believe I came out alive from it. And I was like, I survived that. That was fun. Like, none of the stuff that I did on David's vlog, like, he made me do, I was always like, dude, I'm doing that, I'm down. David's like, okay, so yeah, okay, for sure. And I feel like he was always surprised that I was down to do it, but, like, the shit was so fun. But I think it came to a point where I was just like, what is this doing on the internet? This is just dumb. Like, I'm not really showing a good example in the world, honestly.
I thought it was a good example.
and then I started, like, hanging out with Reckless Ben, and then I pitched him the Yellow Deli series. I was like, dude, you should do this. And he's like, dude, let's do it together. And then doing my first infiltration, it gave me, like, a new high where I'm like, I'm actually doing something good in the world, where I'm, like, shedding light about something that's bad, and I'm like, it's, like, educational now. And so I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm, like, still down to do the stunts, but if it was for, like, a good opportunity. So if, like, Jackass hit me up, I'm freaking down. But just to, like, get hurt now, I'm not really, kind of lost the passion a little bit for it now. I'm, like, just I feel like I have a new way of life. And I feel like, honestly, my YouTube videos got way more way more professional. I feel like watching my videos now, I'm like, hey, I'm doing a better job. And the videos before was like, I'm tough, I'm gonna get stung by crazy insects, and now I watch my videos and I don't really cringe. I feel like I've learned a lot from him. He's actually my favorite YouTuber. Oh, and I feel like his editing is, like, so on point. Like, I'm very surprised he's not as big as Mr. Beast, but, like, learning from him, I feel like he's changed my whole career for the better. I mean, like, just from posting this McKamey Manor series, I hit 100,000 subscribers. We got the plaque right there. I'm so stoked. It's like, for all the hard work, for all the grind that I've put, all the all-nighters editing, to finally hit over 100,000 subscribers, it, like, means so much. And I feel like I have to thank Reckless Ben, because maybe I wouldn't have hit that if my videos weren't better. Because, like, this guy, he's such a good friend, where I'll edit my McKamey Manor episode, and it's like, my last episode was 30 minutes. And I was like, hey, dude, before I post it, are you cool watching it and, like, critiquing it? And then he'll send me voice memos, like, fully correcting it. He's like, hey, you should change that, you should change that. And it's like, he doesn't have to do that. He's not getting paid for my videos. And it's just, like, a really good friend. And honestly, Ben, I appreciate you've, like, changed my whole career. So thank you. But
thanks, dude.
But yeah, the insect stings, and they're like, oh yeah, I would get stung by, like, crazy insects. That was, like, a phase for a while. But
I don't know. I thought that was crazy. I don't know. I think there's definitely, you kind of talk about it where you're, like, not proud of that. But I think there definitely is something rewarding about, like, pushing yourself and doing an activity that you don't think you can accomplish. And then when you do accomplish it, you learn something new about yourself. And I definitely think there is some takeaway from those videos.
I mean, I'm definitely, like, proud of the stunts I've did. I think it's more my editing. I think if I was the editor I am now, because I just watched my videos back and I'm just like, I think why did I have to edit videos like that? If I did it more in a professional way than I'm doing now, then I'd be like, I think I'm stoked. I think like just doing the stunt, like getting stung by insects, and not like thinking of it not as a YouTube video, I'm really proud of. I think just like I watched those videos back and I'm like, damn, dude, if I was editing how I'm editing now, it would be so sick.
I don't know. My personal philosophy on it is I think most people get stuck in life because they're too afraid to take risks, you know, and they're too afraid to like start that next business, you know, or they're afraid to ask that girl out. And so they get stuck in this like bubble. That's like most of America, I feel like. And maybe they watch one of your videos of you getting stung and they're like, look at this risk that Danny put himself to. He got stung by 200 of the most painful insects in the entire world. I can go ask that girl out, you know, or I can go start that business, you know. And
I mean, when I did the bullet ant glove ritual in Brazil where I got stung by 200 bullet ants, like after surviving that pain was the worst, other than my third degree burns where I have scars still all over my body. Like surviving that severe pain, it made me feel like I can literally accomplish anything. So like, yes, there was definitely like good things that came from that stuff. But the fire stunt, that was probably when I took like a starting like, oh, I shouldn't be doing like these crazy stunts and I need to calm it down. And I honestly feel like that made me a better person though. Like learning like don't mess with fire. I mean, you took it way too far and that was definitely not setting a good example. And I definitely just like you learn from your mistakes. And I feel like, look, honestly, I became a way better person from it too. So
you guys are searching for your next investigation now, right?
Well, we know. I think we already know what we're going to do next.
I mean, that was the one we're talking about where we're like, we can't talk about it. Maybe the alien
thing. We'll talk
to
you about
it
afterwards.
Yeah.
We have something pretty sick set up, though. I'll say that.
And how intense is that one going to be?
It's going to, I mean, the
goal
is
the biggest one.
I mean, that's the goal, is like each series gets crazier and crazier. So like, obviously this series is crazier than the cult one, you know, and I think this would be crazier than McCamey Manor, I think. So, yeah.
You think McCamey's crazier than the cult?
Yeah, 100%. Because McCamey Manor is a cult. And it's, I think it's more mainstream and more people are falling for it.
Yeah.
Than
I mean, all these.
I think 12 Tribes, you can look at it and be like, your average, they kind of get more of like your like vulnerable people that are like lost in life. But I think your average person looks at the cult we infiltrated and is like, this is crazy. McCamey Manor, your average person looks at McCamey Manor and they think it's a legitimate haunted house that they want to go do, you know? And, or maybe not that they want to go do. I think most people wouldn't want to do it. But a lot of people look at it as and believe what McCamey Manor's side of things is, you know? And they don't see what's actually going on. And so that's why I think this series is more impactful.
Yeah.
And,
but it's crazy how these moderators are just so brainwashed. It's like Russ like had like a sit down talk with them and just got in their brain and they actually believe that. When it, like, it's so weird to me. We need to figure out how to de-brainwash.
I do want to bring something up also. So in my last video, one of the things that we were doing, so one of the really things that separates our series from a lot of other series is also is we're trying to play Russ's own mind game against him, because that's how he's able to get away with all of this, is he's able to use mind games to, like, keep people into staying quiet, and like that's how he hides the truth. So we're like, okay, we're just gonna play the same mind game on Russ. So for instance, I think we did a bit in the last thing where I used a fake caller ID app to make it look like we hacked his phone.
That's pretty funny.
And he legitimately thought that we hacked into his phone, but really we were just spoofing his number. It's like a free app on the app. It's like $1 per phone call or something.
We stated after the $1 thing, we also stated that he has to get pizza with us, because when Ben did his tour, Ben's like, want to grab pizza? And he said no. And so in my contract, when I went, Ben put in a clause where it says he has to get pizza with us. So when I got kicked out of McCamey Manor, we're like, well, you have to get pizza with us. And he's like, no, I'm not going to get pizza. I was like, well, it's a breach of contract, though. You have to get it. And he still didn't get pizza with us. So now I'm going to give you a cliffhanger for videos to come. We wanted to add on to the series because we figured out it's way bigger than we thought. And so we ended up flying out a fan to go undercover for us to go do McCamey Manor. And we went out to Tennessee with him, and we sent him into McCamey Manor. Ben and I, we were, because we're blocked out of McCamey Manor's Facebook group. So this guy Jackson, the fan, he gave us his Facebook password. We're across the street from where Russ lives at a gas station, logged into his Facebook account, watching his tour, screen recording it. And then basically once his tour is done, he's going to call an Uber. And Ben photoshopped a fake Uber sticker onto our friend's car. And Ben pulls up in the Uber. Russ gets so pissed, starts Facebook Living it. And then basically because he's supposed to get pizza with us. I act like the Postmates and come 5 minutes later. I'm like, delivery for Russ McKamey. We have 2 slices of pizza. And he's just like, get off my property. Get off my property. He didn't want to talk to us. And I basically just gave a really big spoiler. But like, that's something that like.
That's in your next episode?
No, not in the next episode. It might be for Ben's because he's a little ahead of me. But basically, we ended up interviewing some like really big people that Russ 100% does not want that information out there. Like the things we got in Tennessee were like, it was a very productive trip. And that's when I'm like, this is so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. And like, it almost made me like cry out of like good emotion where I'm like, dude, this is like, we're doing such a good thing. And I just can't wait for the rest of the series to come out, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like don't want to do what we're doing and post anything exposing Russ because of that contract, because they legitimately think they're going to be sued. And the thing that we're doing is we know we're not going to get sued because, I mean, even if they do, they don't have a good case on us, but they're not. The guy doesn't make any money. Like, how is he going to afford lawyers? Like we have such, like, the things that they're doing are so bad that we literally have so much on them than just trademark. Like, we're not worried about it. Like, in my last episode, I was like, sue us, do it. I dare you. Come on. And it's just a bluff to try to scare us. And that's why people aren't posting videos like this, because they probably did that to them and they legitimately actually got scared and were like, oh, I don't want to get sued. I'm not going to talk about this about Russ, but it's just like his haunt. He's doing all this stuff to scare you. He even claims someone died there just to scare you. I think it's kind of messed up to say someone died, but...
And you don't think...
So no, 100%. So there's articles out there that
but are saying... But these are all just mind games that, like, Russ plays on people. That's why people believe his stories. So we're like, if we can just play a bigger mind game on Russ, then people have to believe our story, you know? And so that's kind of our goal, is to, like, play the bigger mind game.
There's a moment in your guys' Yellow Deli where the cops come when you guys are taking over, and you're explaining to the cops how you took over the deli.
Oh, this is like one of my favorite moments. But I know that Ben is so good, like, on the spot. Like, I don't even know how you do it without getting nervous. But like,
how do you keep a straight face?
I was like, I'll be the cameraman.
Well, for me,
and I secretly like filmed with my camera, and then Ben was recording audio on his phone. He just held his phone, but he was recording voice memos and just talking to the cops. And I was like secretly filming. So we got everything. But dude, you killed it.
That's a good thing. I think a lot also is like, yeah, how you keep a straight face during something like that when the cops are acting so ridiculous. But to me, it was actually like a serious situation. Like, in my eyes, like, if you're like really in character, you know, it's like, we're taking over this restaurant. We did everything legally to code. And so it's like,
do you ever break though?
And so, no.
I mean, you went all the way out to this farm and you lived there for
I've never seen him break.
I broke one time when the guy said, he was like, I used to have a friend once, but I couldn't be his friend anymore because it was just the way he said it was hilarious. It just seemed like shit of a movie.
I can't be his friend anymore because he's gay.
It wasn't,
and you laughed?
But the way he said it, yeah, I had to turn away from, I had to like,
well, because it's like, it's so ridiculous that he would even say that, you know?
It wasn't what he said, it was the wording of what he said. He was like, yeah, this guy used to be my best friend. We were like homies and stuff. But then, it was just the gayness. He's like, I couldn't handle just the gayness. And the way he said it was just like, he's like, yeah, I had to cut all ties with him just because the gayness.
It's so
and
weird.
And I had to turn, I did one of those things. Yeah.
I mean, for me though, like, I feel like I broke a little bit because like when I look at Ben and then I see just how good he is at lying, and then like he says some crazy stuff, and then like I'm recording with the secret spy glasses, and then luckily he's double recording and he has a spy watch, and I have to like turn to act like I'm not laughing because like he will go in hard to get the information out there. He'll just like, Ben will do anything to expose someone. It's like also, that's why he's reckless Ben. He's freaking reckless.
Also, I think it comes down to the fact of this too, like, why do you laugh? It's because you think you're like, there's like a joke going on, right? Like, that's your natural instinct, is to laugh. But at the end of the day, like, this isn't a joke. Like, this is like investigative journalism to me, you know what I mean? Like, obviously there's times when like, yeah, like he's like the gayness, you know, and we're like that's kind of like a comedic bit that obviously we're gonna make fun of in the documentary. And parts where like we're like, Lydia's dead, and we're like, yeah, she's so dead. And then the guy's like, oh, like that part was funny because it's like they actually believe that she's dead because she had a gay thought. Like, that's funny. But like at the end of the day, I think the fact that we're doing like real investigative journalism makes it a very serious thing where like even if something funny does come up, I don't want to laugh because I know like how serious it is, you know. And it just is more, and then also one of my friends told me this, he's a comedian, because I was asking him, like, how do you keep a straight face when we were doing the Flat Earth series? His name's Blake Rozier, and because there was a lot of times when we were like making fun of the Flat Earthers that I just had to turn away and laugh. That was one of the first series I did, so I was still new to this, and I remember what Blake said is, he's like, it's just funnier when you keep a straight face, when you don't break. He's like, it's just funnier. And so once you said that, that was kind of like the turning point for me. I was like, it's, if it's funnier if you keep a straight face, I'm like, and not laugh, you know, then it becomes even fun, because like, you're laughing because it's funny, but if it's even funnier without laughter, then why don't you just do that instead? So then I was like, okay, and that was the what convinced me, I guess.
So when's this series going to get wrapped up, and when are you going to start working on the new one?
Well, I feel like when we were just in Tennessee, like I was saying, we realized like how much bigger this series is going to get, and I couldn't tell you an end date. Ben might know, but I just know we're going to have to be pumping out like fast, like every week, new episodes, because stuff we have on what we found out is like insane. Yeah, it's literally mind blowing.
We can't speak on the next two episodes. There'll be at least two more episodes, and we can't speak on those because we haven't accomplished what we're trying to do yet. And the second once they find out what we're trying to accomplish, they're going to make sure it doesn't happen. So
yeah, that's why we got to keep it a secret. Yeah, so for right now, there's two more episodes, but
it'd be like if we came on the last podcast and you're like, how are you going to end the cult series? And we're like, oh, we're going to take over the Yellow Deli. Then obviously now they're going to look and we're like, we're going to send in 30 virgins. Then now they're going to look for 30 virgins coming in, you know, it's gonna spoil the whole plan. So
Russ can't know our cards, dude. We're like, I keep saying this, we're always one step ahead of him, and he always likes to try to be one step ahead of everyone else, but we're actually doing we're actually one step ahead of him every single time, and it's the best.
Yeah, we are one step ahead of Russ, and he wants you to worry. That's why he's like, okay, we're gonna get you on trademark and stuff, because that's him trying to be one step ahead of us. But then like, the way I got one step ahead of him on top of that was I actually made my own company called McCamey Manor. So now he's copying me, because if you look up who owns McCamey Manor, I'm actually the owner.
It's actually, Joe, I'm not kidding, it's true. So he bought McCameyManor.org and the LLC.
Yeah, so
he
the legal
owns
documents
McCamey
say,
Manor LLC. Yeah.
He got suspended for it in 2019, so I bought it for him.
Dude, he's so I don't get how he comes up with this stuff, but I'm like, dude, this is amazing.
Well, you guys are great.
But if you go on McCameyManor.org, you can purchase a rat shirt or rat mugs and rat hats, because basically he claims that he has 1,000 rats, but he actually has no animals there whatsoever except for his dogs. And so we're basically just like doing a troll.
Yeah, it's basically a parody. Like, our company's all about rats. And the reason that he can't sue us for that is because he would have to prove that we're copying him, because there's a clause in trademark called likelihood of confusion clause. And so all they would have to do, we made it easy for them to prove, all they have to do is show that they have rats, and the rat race stunt I was saying is fake. And so this comes back to full circle, back to your original question, how do you know this is fake? Because we made it extremely easy for them to sue us. All they have to do is come out and say, these are the rats, you guys are copying us, but they haven't done that yet, and they never will. And
if they showed me a rat that they didn't just purchase right now, and they had the rat all along, I would 100% delete my videos, because then we would be wrong. I feel like it's so easy. If he says he has 1,000 rats, why can't you show one rat and then we'll delete our videos?
Yeah, and then they could also sue us they would sue us out the butt, but they'll never do that, because for them to sue us, they would have to prove that their haunted house is real, and they can't do that.
You guys are wild.
Yeah.
When's the next series going to start? Because that one I do really want to...
I'll say this. 100% of my time and energy goes into the
what
series
you're doing now.
Creation. So it's as soon as it can be done. Like, there's nothing that I can do that would make it come out sooner. You know what I mean? Besides maybe like hire extra people, which I stole Mr. Beast's editor from him, his lead editor. He just quit Mr. Beast and he wants to work for me now. So the next episode, he's actually injured right now, so I've been editing by myself. Right, he got like some really, he's been in the hospital for the last like 3 days. But he said he gets out of the hospital tomorrow and he will start editing for me. So
dude, I'm jealous. I want an editor so bad. If you know anyone, I would be psyched.
Okay.
But so hopefully it comes out sooner rather than later, I guess. I'm building up a team right now, so.
Wait, also really quick, so we're in Tennessee, and so we just wanted to confront him one more time about getting pizza with us. And so we go there, and he's literally working the cashier, and so I bought some, like, mulch. I'm like, we're doing, like some handiwork, and we just need some mulch or whatever. And he sees us. You could just tell his face just drops, and he's acting like he just doesn't know us. He's like, okay, that will be $12.50. thank you. Have a good day, sir. And then we just like confront him, like, hey, why won't you get pizza with us? Or like we ask him about the lawsuit. It, like that's not out yet, but it's so funny because it's very uncomfortable. But we found out that he thought we were being disrespectful, but honestly, we were being very nice, actually. We're just like, hey, this will all end if you just get pizza with us. Like, just
yeah.
Get-
but what Russ doesn't know is like once he gets pizza with us, it's like the end of McKamey Manor. Like actually, well, and that's like not a mind game. That's like real. Like if he gets pizza with us, it's like actually like end McKamey Manor.
Okay, well, what if he sees this podcast? Wouldn't he be like, okay, now I'm one step ahead of them now?
Maybe, but I still don't know. I don't think he's gonna watch this podcast. But yeah, but if. That's why we're trying like this hard to get pizza with them because like literally like the second he, not the second, but like a little
It'll
bit after.
End.
Well, kind of. I can't say why because he probably does have spies watching this podcast, but I think we can convince him. But yeah, once he gets pizza with us, like McKamey Manor's like done. Like yeah. It's over for McKamey Manor. Like I really think like they would get shut down like the next like week or so. But and like it happens like once he gets pizza with us.
I mean, there like when we were in Tennessee, there was one interview. That I have not, I can't say anything. That's like
yeah. I can tell you off camera.
Yeah,
like,
we'll tell you off camera.
I can tell you off.
The interview we had was I left that and I was like, holy shit, this is Ben. This is huge. I like gave Ben a hug. I was like, dude, I can't believe we're doing this.
Well, thank you guys for being here,
dude. Thank you.
Welcome.
Your
dude,
channels are gonna be linked down below,
dude. Lightweight Podcast. Oh wait, I can't even talk right now, dude. Lightweight. I can't. Why? I'm having like the best time. I can't even talk anymore. But it's literally my favorite podcast. Like, sometimes I'll text you and be like, I'm editing right now, watching Lightweights, and then I get distracted because it's so entertaining. So it's like when you hit us up to come on, like I'm like, dude, I will 100% drive 2 hours from San Diego, come up here, and I really appreciate all the support for like our stuff. It seriously means a lot.
Seriously, thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us, dude. This was really fun.
Cool.
I love podcasts. Podcasts are sick. You just get to like, it's like therapy, you know, but the whole world can watch.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I like start talking about this stuff to my friends, they'll just get bored. But like the audience loves it. So it's awesome.
No, I think what you guys are doing is so interesting. That's why every time I text Daniel all the time, I want to know what you guys are doing. Yeah. So
cool. Dude, you're like the OG supporter too. Like I think I met you when I just first started YouTube.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't even able to monetize yet when I was doing the David's Bitches stuff. That was like when I first started. And you were the OG, and now look where I am. It's crazy, dude. So
100K.
Yeah. Cool. Congratulations, Danny.
Thanks, dude.
For Danny.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Cool. Lightweights.
It felt like a superhero moment where they're all like.
Lightweights.
Lightweights. Yeah.